It's The Record on KUOW with Steve Scherr. I'm David Hyde. Last week marked the four-year anniversary of the landmark United States Supreme Court decision commonly known as Citizens United. The court decided that corporations and labor unions can independently spend as much money as they want to support a political message or a candidate. Critics say the decision turned American democracy into a dollarocracy. But what difference has Citizens United really made? Rick Hassan is a professor at the University of California, Irvine, and the author of the Election Law blog. He says the whole thing started when a nonprofit called Citizens United made an anti-Hillary Clinton documentary called Hillary, the Movie.
They wanted to air this on an on-demand system through Comcast, and they were going to pay Comcast $1 million to make this available. Ordinarily, nonprofits could spend their funds doing this kind of stuff. But this nonprofit took some for-profit corporate money, and by doing so, it made it illegal for the organization to broadcast this documentary. And so when the Federal Election Commission said they couldn't be doing this, they sued in court, and the case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said not only that this nonprofit, the Citizens United Group, could put this on the air, but that all corporations, including for-profit corporations, could spend whatever sums they wanted independently to support or oppose candidates for office.
So the case actually started over an anti-Hillary Clinton video, but analysts are now saying that she set up to really benefit from this decision should she decide to run for office in 2016, as now seems fairly likely. How is that?
Well, there are a few developments that happened right after Citizens United. One of them is that we saw corporations did not rush in, at least the for-profit corporations that we would think of, did not rush in and engage in this independent spending, in part because General Motors or Target doesn't want its name associated so closely with the candidate. And so they took a few other developments, and the biggest development was the emergence of what we now call super PACs. These are independent groups that take contributions from individuals, corporations, and labor unions and spend them on political activities. And so this is significant because rather than the money coming from the corporation or labor union directly and being mentioned in the ad as paid for by General Motors or paid for by the AFL-CIO, it's paid for by Americans for a Great Future. And you'd have to do some digging to figure out who was behind it. So once these super PACs emerged, we started seeing them being used as a way of bolstering campaigns, mostly for president, but also for some other offices. And in the last election cycle, every presidential candidate had a single-issue super PAC that was basically backing them. Now Hillary Clinton, even though she's not a candidate, there are already a few organizations, these super PACs, that are out there raising funds, getting ready to start spending money to promote her candidacy, assuming she decides to run. So the people who are saying that she's going to benefit from this are saying that she's going to benefit from this outside money. But I don't think she's going to benefit any more than any other presidential candidates would. I don't think there's anything special about Hillary Clinton other than she's otherwise the front runner, so people are already starting to raise money for her.
And of course, critics of the Citizens United decision say that this money is destroying democracy. Some are arguing that we need to amend the Constitution to prevent our democracy from turning into a dollarocracy. What's the case for that argument?
Well, I do think that the Supreme Court, by overturning some of its earlier precedents, which left corporate and union money a little bit more out of the process, I do think it was a mistake for the Supreme Court to go in that direction. That said, I'm very wary of a constitutional amendment. The ones that I've looked at would go much further than reversing Citizens United. For example, one of the prominent measures would say that corporations don't have any constitutional rights whatsoever, and I assume that would include a corporation like the New York Times or Fox News, which raised troubling issues about freedom of the press. Some of them also require that every jurisdiction impose some limitations on campaign spending and campaign financing. And in this country, when we talk about state and local elections, we give lots of room for various jurisdictions to come up with their own rules. So it might be that the cure would be worse than the disease if we amended the Constitution to try to overturn the Citizens United case.
Richard Hassan is a professor at the University of California, Irvine, and the author of the Election Law blog. And we're talking about the four-year anniversary of the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court that had to do with making it possible for corporations and unions to spend unlimited funds on political action committees. And bottom line, Richard Hassan, just to wrap it up, what should people listening to this right now know about Citizens United moving forward?
Well, we're going to see a lot more outside money, and I think we're going to see the Supreme Court maybe even loosen things up more. They've got a case before them. They should be deciding it by June, and the best way to reverse Citizens United is to change the composition of the Supreme Court, which is not a message that people want to hear because that's not a really short-term kind of project.
Law professor Rick Hassan talking about the four-year anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision known as Citizens United. It's The Record on KUOW with Steve Scherr. I'm David Hyde.
President Obama is expected to talk about income inequality in the State of the Union address tonight. Meanwhile, we've been asking you and we've been hearing your take on income inequality by asking whether you're better off economically than your parents. Here's what two of you told us earlier.
I'm not doing it as well as my parents did. My father was a truck driver, and with his job, he earned enough for us to live on, had a wonderful pension, and those things are not available any longer.
Absolutely. We live a better life than our parents. It has been a progression. We track our family back generations, and every generation has actually improved in its overall circumstances financially.
That was Judy and Terry. We'd like to hear from you, too. Are you better off economically than your parents were? Call 206-221-3663, or you can email us. It's record at kuow.org. This is The Record from KUOW with Steve Scherr. I'm David Hyde.